podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. Super excited. Before we jump in, we'd like to give a big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market, bar none. They are sturdy. They will not break. They don't break down. Mention Coach Unplugged. They'll give you $350 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's the one-stop shop for basketball coaches. Right now, we've got a quarterly membership going on, which I think is awesome. I think it rocks. We've got everything you need inside of our roadmap. You know, teachhoops did a roadmap because you're always in one of four seasons, right? You're either in preseason, you're either in postseason, you're either in the season or you're in the off season. One of those four seasons you're always in. And we set up a roadmap and a checklist to make it easier for you. So come over, join us at teachhoops.com. Let's head off to the podcast. It's a crazy time, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, a lot of adjusting.
Right, yeah.
The skin, you see the whole situation, not being able to go out. How's it, I think you're in Minnesota or something? I'm in Wisconsin.
We're peaking right now, so it's not good. So
I'm in Florida, so I mean,
you're worse. We can't even work our guys out or anything. So where are you in that?
AAU's full blast right now. I don't know if it's like that.
That's crazy to me.
AAU's in full blast. But
the colleges can't come out.
Really?
Like they shut down D1. They can't travel or do any of that stuff. So all that stuff is that's interesting.
Yeah. No. I mean, we were supposed to start mid-July.
Right,
but with this surge, and I don't know if they're gonna dial it back. Let's wait another month.
Right,
but I don't know. I don't know what they're gonna do.
No, and then can you work your guys out? Can you go in the gym? No, we can't either.
Like I said, we are supposed to start mid July, but with the governor saying we're kind of rolling back stuff. They're putting more restrictions on businesses now. I don't know how the school district.
No, that's why I've been working on. So on T-Troops, like I can set up workouts. Like we're going to start July 6th, but I can't meet them. They got to do it on their own. So I'm setting up workouts, motivational stuff, all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So you can do that with your team if you want. It will be easy to set it up. I'm going to do it so they can do it on their phone and stuff. I'm just trying to do stuff they can do by themselves.
Right now I'm a JV coach, and we've been doing that, just sending them out workouts. And
do you think they're doing it?
Some. the kids that are they're definitely doing it. They're doing it something. Even if you didn't say anything, like, you know, they're out there.
Right.
I would say probably like 20% of them, I'm sure, are doing it.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do, is I'm trying to get them to send me something so I can see that. Have you done anything, you know, or just check in with them too. If nothing else, do a big Zoom. But you're right. If you don't keep them accountable, they won't do.
Oh, no.
I've dealt with teenage boys long enough. They won't. They will not.
Yeah, they're not.
They will go play Xbox, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have some questions or something I can help you with?
I don't even know. I mean, because these meetings are, once a month that we can
Yep. So summer tends to be the downtime. I don't tend to do as many Zoom as office hours. So one-on-one calls I can do whenever you want. We just have to figure out a time. The office hours when we get together, people tend not to come to them in the summer just because they're all doing their stuff. So I might try to do one after the 4th just to see if people are interested.
What do you mean by office hours? Like As a group, or we all?
Yeah, as a group. As a group.
Okay.
As a group. So one-on-one calls is obviously me and you, or me and somebody. Yeah. And then office hours, I just say, hey, Sunday at 8 p.m., we're going to get together. Let's talk out-of-bounds plays. Let's talk whatever. And then whoever can show up shows up. They just don't tend to be well attended in the middle of July, which is fine. I get it. People are doing stuff. Now, this might be different because our world is different right now. So
we're
all around. So maybe they would. They were definitely busy right as soon as COVID started. As soon as the lockdown, I had them and we were busy. But then I think people got kind of, I don't know, something stir crazy or something. But So what's your long term goal?
I would.
And where are you located? Where in Florida?
It's a place called Newport Richey. It's in about, let's say, 30 minutes north of Tampa.
Okay.
Tampa, St. Pete.
No. I spent my entire childhood going to St. Pete's Beach. So I And I've got relatives in Sarasota.
And
we go to, and our dog's name is Sanibel. So I kind of know that coast.
Gotcha.
I know that coast really well. I don't know the East Coast as well. I definitely know the West Coast. Oh God. So it's like the surface of the sun down there right now. So do you want to leave the area? Do you want to be a head coach? Do you want college coach?
Yeah, I mean the long term would be to be a small college head coach. I mean, it honestly doesn't necessarily have to be a small college head coach. I'm fine just being a high school head coach. I guess my biggest dream would be to be somewhat a part of the Haitian national basketball team.
Okay.
Like a director, one of the coaches. Because with them, I mean, they up until I think last summer, like they didn't even have a program. Like, I think they were in suspension for like 15, 20 years, and because it's such a small poor country, like they didn't care to fix the suspension. They're like, oh, we got suspended, whatever.
Right.
And so for 20 years, like they didn't do anything. Last summer, maybe it was two summers ago, someone finally kind of started to get things together. I was in contact with them.
Okay.
And I was hoping to, you know, kind of get with them, but I guess they were part of the Central America tournament.
Yep.
And they were doing well, but someone obviously didn't read the rule book. You're only allowed to have, I think, one or two people not born in Haiti on the team. Like you get like all of them have to be like born in Haiti, except you only got one.
You can have a Haitian that is a citizen born somewhere.
Yeah.
Else. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what they did, pretty much 80% of the team were from America, of Haitian descent. They got disqualified, so they kind of went back under.
Right.
So, and I was actually planning on getting in contact with them during April, but then this happened, and it didn't seem like they were in much contact. But I mean, for me, that's kind of my biggest dream, to kind of be maybe the director of youth development for that, kind of go to the country, kind of help with the building of basketball there, and then obviously do other things for the country.
What's your connection to Haiti?
I'm Haitian. My family's Haitian.
You were born, Haitian. Were you born in Haiti?
No, but I've been there a couple times. So that's always been some reason a dream of mine, even when I was a kid. Like just – I don't know. I just always wanted to do it. Just kind of, I've always loved teaching and kind of help kids improve. So I don't know. It's always been a dream of mine.
Okay. So dream of yours. Dig deeper into that. So why?
I don't know. I mean, I love basketball. I love the whole development part. just that whole. I don't know. It just. I love to build things up and get them to a level that they didn't feel like they can get to.
Okay.
So I think, I guess that was always like, okay, there's not even a Haitian national team, just the fact of maybe even able to have them, just have a team, have them be able to compete on a international level. Obviously, I don't know how good it would end up being, but at least be able to make a tournament, just to show up to a tournament.
Right.
That'd be a huge accomplishment for me.
So build things up. What do you mean by that?
I guess I just like the challenge of just people saying something can't happen. Right now I'm a JV coach. Our school hasn't been doing so well, but just kind of building them up. And wins, for me on the JV level, wins don't really matter. I don't really care about the wins, but just but just getting them. I mean, we've lost a ton of games, but like we've played our coach. He's really big on just getting our players better. So like we will play some of the better teams in the area just because, even though we know we're not on their level. So unfortunately, our JV team has to also take the brunt of that.
Right.
But just you know, and our team has grown so much. Just helping, just seeing them getting better. I mean, in the past 2 years, like three or four kids that's gone up to varsity, like they've done great. Like they instantly are in the rotation. So just seeing that, just kind of just building people up. Right now, I don't teach. I'm a manager at a warehouse at FedEx. Okay. So even in that situation,
you've been busy.
Yeah, extremely.
I feel like I should invite the FedEx and the UPS guy in for dinner. I see him so much right now. Yeah, I swear.
It's extremely busy. Even now, I thought as states opened up, like we'd kind of dip a little bit. Nope.
No, we'll dive into this, but here's my theory with that is people are getting used to this.
I
need to go anywhere? You're going to bring it to me. Why do I need to go? I mean, I think when things open up full, I think you're still going to be busier than ever. I think.
Even me and my wife, we see like, well, there's so many things that we don't even have to go to the store for anymore. Right.
You don't have to go. Yeah. So what is your pivot? What is your movement forward then? What is your growth thing?
As of right now?
Yeah. Moving forward. I mean.
The plan right now, I think one of the things that disappointed me in the whole me getting connected with the Haitian national team, I kind of felt, because I was in contact with the guy in charge, and then he kind of gave it to another guy to be the general manager.
Right.
I kind of felt that my status right now, he kind of overlooked me, even though I was calling him every week, emailing him like, hey, I'm willing to do whatever. I don't care if you make me the water boy.
Right.
I think just because I was a JV coach, I didn't have a status. Like he didn't. I don't want to say disrespected where I was at.
I get lots of emails and there are definitely categories of emails, trust me. What's the solution to that then? I think I know the solution. What do you think the solution to that is?
I think right now I just need to keep on improving.
Here's what I think. Two things. First of all, boots on the ground is a big part. So at some point, you're going to say, I want to come and help. I think that person has to meet you.
Yeah.
At some point when the world when we get back to the new norm.
Yeah.
It's you going there and spending a summer. It's you going there and spending a month. You know, using all your vacation days, whatever it is. It's you. Because that's with me. Like once I've met someone, it's totally different than when I could email them, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is I think it's resume building. It's like, look at the stuff I've done to better my game. Mm-hmm. you know, it's like, maybe it's not being a JV coach anymore. Maybe I know there's lots of, maybe it's volunteering at a D3. I mean, yeah. All of a sudden you become a volunteer D3 assistant and do a little recruiting. All of a sudden you become a whole different category for him, or maybe you could get a head job, or, you know, something like, I agree that you know, you got to build the resume a little bit. But it's also, I think those two things would be the big things for me, is boots on the ground. You know, mm-hmm. That person's got to meet you and feel comfortable with you, or you have to do something like this with them, or.
I mean, eventually I don't even know how he got connected, because obviously he's everything about connection, but he's a high school coach in Dallas.
So maybe it's easier. Maybe it's easier than that. Maybe it's going to Dallas rather than going to Haiti. No, I'm just saying, it's like, let me come spend a week with you and learn, and let's figure out how I can help you. And you know, free is wonderful. Like, if you're willing to do this, no, I'm just saying, it's like,
no, I got you.
That's the thing, is like, people are always looking for help. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if someone wants to help in my program, I never turn them away. I just kind of figure out where I can put that piece. I don't always have jobs for them. That's the issue. I think that's a big, And the thing is, when the world opens up, like, what do you think your strengths and weaknesses as a coach are?
I think my strengths are just attention to detail. That's probably my biggest, my focus on defense. I think one of my weaknesses probably would be, I tend to get quiet. Because, I mean, growing up, I was a pretty quiet kid. And so I think sometimes, I don't know if it's in a bad way. Maybe it's just my perception of what a coach should be. Maybe I'm not talking as much.
That's okay. If your players are talking, you don't need to be.
And that's what I try to focus on, to try to get them talking to each other. Because, I mean, in a game, a lot of times players aren't paying attention to the coach. I mean, they're more likely to pay attention to each other in the game if they're coaching up each other and like, hey, you need to do this and that. So
that's a good practice in a good game. I'm telling you, because the biggest games, they're not going to hear you, especially in a high school gym. So it's like it's like you're the guy in the back. You're the guy directing. You're the captain. No one sees the person, you know, moving the cruise ship. They're up in some little thing. They don't see them. They see everybody else that's running around. So, okay, so good. So let's go back to the strength part, the detail part. Mm-hmm. So I think you need to start thinking about, like, what happens if you were a head coach? How would you do? Not necessarily that's, like, your eventual goal to be a high school coach, but – I think you got to start thinking program-wise rather than JV coach-wise. And that's what I always tell the assistants that I'm helping mentor, is you need to come up with your quote-unquote business plan, your philosophy, like how would you run? So let's say tomorrow you became the head coach at the high school. What would you do? What is your blueprint to do that? And I can tell you, before my first job, it took me probably 6 months to come up with mine. Yeah. Like, because you got to think about every aspect of a program. You know, and I think what it does is, it, even if you never use it, it clarifies things. Like, how are you going to run parents? How are you going to run off season? How are you going to run, you know, the academic part? How are you going to run fundraising? All of those things that sometimes a JV coach or assistant coach doesn't think about.
Which will
help you clarify. I think it really will. And I always refer to it as a live document. Mine's probably changed 10 times over my 30 years, where I'll go back, I'll tweak things. You know, I'll do the same things I did 30 years ago, or I'd be fired. Yeah. You know, the game's changed. The kids have changed. Everything's changed. So you got to go back and tweak it. So it's a live document, but that's something I would recommend doing. And it's a great experiment. You know, I've got some on the website that you can look at that kind of use, I, think I've got one of my old ones. I've got some new ones that people have put in. But I think that's a good thing to do, to just kind of start narrowing that, you know, your focus. Otherwise, you're trying to like, oh God, I got to work on zone defenses. And you go work on that for a week, and then you get distracted, and then you go work on – it's like you got to think about the whole picture, and then you can go do the specifics. You know, like I'm working on – screening right now, like how can I teach screening better, because screening is so much footwork and how they come off it. And so that's something I'm working on right now as a coach. I'm working on like that aspect. There's not a lot out there, to be honest with you. No one breaks down screening, but I think it's an important aspect of the game, that footwork part. So so that's what I think that would be a big part of it. What about game management? What about those kind of things?
What do you mean by game management? Like how? Yeah, I don't know exactly. No,
okay. So down 7-3, like down 7-3.5 minutes. You know, double bonus, those kind of things. You know, how do you feel about like your in game management? Like,
I feel pretty good. Obviously, I can get better. I haven't had too many. I think one of the harder things is because the way we structure our JV last year, we started out with 20 kids. We ended up only having 16. So what we do is, I mean, we pretty much play everybody the first half.
Right.
Have them in three groups, play everybody. So, I mean, there were a lot of games where we were behind. Just because of that nature. But at the end of the game, we've had numerous comebacks. I mean, it's just kind of what you expect from our JV team.
Right.
Down by 15, 20.
Right.
And then
all of a sudden,
third, fourth quarter, we come back and it's like a 2-point game. And I think that's part of what I said earlier, that I really don't say much. Cause I mean, at that time they know what to do. They're coaching each other up. They're pumping each other up. I make small tweaks. I encourage them. So I think just the past 2 years, I've dealt with a lot of end of the game situations just because of that. So I've got a lot of experience with understanding what to do, how to feel, how they feel. That part, I don't think I have it.
Okay. That's good. That's really good.
That
gets better. I'm a math teacher. That's the law of large numbers too. The more of it you do, the better you get at it. What about practice? How do you practice with 20 kids?
it's tough. I mean, I've dealt with a lot of kids before. I used to live in Atlanta for 4 or 5 years, and I helped at a training facility. So I've had to deal with 20, 30 kids at a time. So I kind of understand the whole,
You understand the herding of cats is what I refer to.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I mean, I've dealt from kindergarten to high school. So, I mean, I understand the whole, try not to have anyone standing. Out of 5-on-5, if it's more individual.
How many baskets do you normally have when you do that?
What do you mean?
How many baskets are you available for?
We have 6. So whenever we're doing shooting, anything. Okay. Finishing, I mean, everybody gets to a basket.
Okay, that's good.
Just splitting them up. It's a lot of 3-on-3, 5-on-5. And what I've tried to do recently is try not to necessarily do, I mean, I guess it's a drill regardless. So let's say in 3-on-3, if I'm trying to focus on passing and cutting, it's like you can only score on a backdoor cut. That's the only way you can score. Or if you drive, you kick out to a 3. Those are the only 2 ways you can score. You get a wide open 3 or it's a back cut. There's no other way you can score.
I love that. I do that too. I think that's great because I think you got to break the game into little pieces for them.
Yeah.
And it's like it forces them to like, yes.
Yeah.
Like we run a little bit of read and hybrid motion, read and react kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we'll do something like we'll play 3-on-3 and the only way you can score is on a back cut. Or the only way you can score is on a flare cut. I mean, and what it does is it forces them to work on that specific skill. It's great. It's for the young coaches, that's a great golden nugget. It's like because it's a great way for them to have to work on a specific skill.
Obviously I've read and listened to a whole bunch of people. So, I mean, I've picked up bits and pieces from everywhere.
Yep.
So it helps. I mean, it's, we kind of run a kind of like read and react, dribble drive hybrid. Yep. So
yeah,
it is kind of hard. It's messy. Especially on a JV level, because
I'm sure it's messy when you got 20 kids, number one versus number 20. Oh my God. The standard deviation, the spread has got to be crazy ability wise. Oh my God.
Oh no. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It helps a lot because I mean, especially on the varsity levels, I mean, our varsity, we don't have the greatest talent.
We're competitive
because I mean, if we ran a flex offense, we would get destroyed every game.
Right.
Like if we ran a specific offense, because I mean, because got kids that work hard, but a lot of our kids play football too, so we can't run those type of offenses because we don't have the time to implement. Because I mean, and they're good, so like they're always going to. Regional semifinals.
Yeah, no, you got to keep it simple. And the thing is, that's what people don't understand that are outsiders looking in is like, we're not like college coaches. We don't like, you know, I would love to do lots of stuff like working on ice, working on, I mean, I'd love to do stuff. Like, I just don't have time because I don't have them that long because, you know, it's not like we have unlimited, you know, contact time with them. And
Man, we have at least nine of our varsity guys are playing football, and they're playing like they're not bench warmers. They're playing,
right.
And so it's kind of like we know they're tired. They got their own football workout, so it's like we have to do that just to be competitive.
Right. So what's your short term and long term thing? What do you want to do short term and long term?
Short term, just fine. I want to get to a head coaching position.
Okay. You got to start working on your resume. You got to start working on, you know, building that. You got to start working on connections. You got to start working on your, like I was talking about before, philosophy, all that stuff. Because when you walk into that interview, you got to pop that on the table. Because I've been helping coaches all over the country in the last probably 2 weeks. Two or 3 weeks seem to be really busy for job openings. And every one of them has walked in and handed, you know, the entire thing. You got to hand your flat. You got to hand them your, here's what I want to do. Here's what I think's going to happen. And that's hard to put together in short term. So that's, you got to start working on that now. And then what about long term? Long term would be the Haitian stuff, probably, huh?
Yeah, and hopefully, I mean, maybe have found a high school I feel comfortable at that I want to stay, or maybe be an assistant at a small college somewhere.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, that would be
my long term. Is work gonna be an issue?
I work at night, so
okay.
That leaves my whole day. Kind of decide when I decide to sleep and and what I do. So I mean,
that's just a question you might get asked. I mean, I don't know the answer to it.
I mean, I've been coaching for a little bit, and I've been working at FedEx, so I always have my days open regardless. I mean, I work the middle of the night until 10, 11.
Okay.
Morning.
I think that's something an interviewee might ask you, like, is that an issue? And I think you got to turn that back into a positive in the sense that, hey, I'm working at nights. I can do this. I can also pop into school in the middle of the day. Like, unlike other people,
you
know, my job allows me to come in at lunch hour and, you know, deal with an issue that we're having or talk to somebody or, you know, figure out where the basketballs went or I don't know, something.
Yeah.
But, so I think you got to turn, because some administrators will think that's a negative rather than a positive.
Oh yeah. I mean, I can see, especially let's say something happens at work and I'm like, oh, I can't leave work right now. It's like, well, after you made this commitment. So, yeah, I mean, I understand all that. But,
yeah, yeah, and that's where you got to have a contingency. Like, yes, something might come up, but here's my assistant. I trust my assistant. Yes. And they can take it and da-da-da-da. Yeah, that's where you got to have – you got to have an answer for everything that they can come back at.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be fine. I mean, the only thing they would be able to ask me is if they wanted me to do something early in the morning, obviously I wouldn't be a free. But, right. My mind from 12 till 12, 12 a.m. or 12 p.m. to 12 a.m., I'm free. Those are completely free.
Right, yeah. And yeah, that's where you like, hey, well, if we have morning shoot arounds, I'm going to have my freshman coach do it.
Yeah.
Here's what it's going to look like. And no, I just, from someone that's been in the educational field a long time, I just know the questions they'll ask you if you're not a specific teacher. And that would be one of them. It's like, how are you going to make this work? You know, but then you turn it back. Like, I've been around kids my entire life. Here's how I've done it. Mm-hmm. You know, here's how I've dealt with it. So you got to turn that negative, perceived negative, into a positive. Yeah. But no, I think that's great. Any other questions? I got to run off to another one here in like 2 minutes.
Not right now. I mean, honestly, I just wanted to get the ball rolling. I mean, I didn't have any specific questions. I kind of wanted to just get the conversation going.
No, that's awesome. Anytime. Yeah. So what I tell people too that are members of T-Troops is like, if you just send me an email, I'll find – my kids are older. Like I have a son going off to college. So I have time. I don't have little ones running around my house anymore. Yeah. So I'm free. I'm also a night owl, so I could get you even on the way to work, you know. So, just let me know as things come up. You know, but I would tell you, like I tell a lot of them, come up with some sort of plan. You got to come up with a plan.
Yeah.
I mean, like you look at there's my whiteboard. There's my plan for like the next 3 weeks. Like you always got to have a plan and you don't always do it, but you got to have kind of a plan to move.
Yeah.
So I think that's good. Well, it was really nice meeting you. Anybody that lives in Florida in June, stay cool. Yeah. Oh my God.
Well, I mean, you get used to it. You get used to it. I mean, it's still hot, but.
No, what I tell people, I've said this on the podcast before, what I tell people is that July in Florida is like January in Wisconsin.
Right. Really?
Oh, January in Wisconsin, we call off school because it's too cold.
Yeah.
Like you throw boiling water up in the air and it freezes before it hits the ground. That's how.
Really?
Cool. Oh yeah. It's brutal. Oh, it's brutal. So our winters are like your summers. So yeah, everybody hibernates and stuff. All right, coach, we'll talk again. Watch the Facebook group for office hours. Cause I tend to post those on Facebook.
Gotcha. I will. Thanks. All right.
Yep. Talk to you soon. Bye. Hey everybody. I hope you're enjoying this. If you are, maybe go over and check out Coach Collins's other podcasts, Teacher Side Gig and High School Hoops. Subscribe, like, leave a 5-star review, maybe. And then also you can go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. All right, have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.